In October of 1803, Meriwether Lewis and William Clark were at the falls of the Ohio River. They stocked supplies for their expedition, recruited the first members of their Corps of Discovery, and set off to explore America's newly acquired Louisiana Territory. Louisville, Kentucky, on the south bank of the Ohio, and Clarksville, Indiana, on the north bank, began 2 weeks of bicentennial celebration today with the dedication of a statue of the only member of the Corps of Discovery who was not a volunteer. William Clark took along his slave named York. Louisville sculptor Ed Hamilton's works include the African-American Civil War Memorial here in Washington, the Amistad Memorial in New Haven, Connecticut, and statues of Booker T. Washington, Medgar Evers, Whitney Young, and Joe Lewis. Hamilton is pleased to be part of recognizing York's place in history.
I'm really proud to be able to put a definitive face on this man that has not been there before, so people can identify him.
Well, explain about York and the little we know about him.
Well, York was the slave of William Clark, and when William Clark migrated to Louisville from Virginia, of course, York was born on his father's plantation. He was the son of Old Man York, he had no first name, and Rose, his mother. And we think he had a sister called Juba. And he became playmate as well as body servant to young William Clark as they were growing up. And when they migrated from Virginia to Louisville, the dynamics of the relationship changed once they became past 12 years old. He became servant to his master. And it's through the journals that William Clark left that we know about York, and other information about York came about because of the letters that William Clark wrote to his brother Jonathan that were found in an attic back in the late 1990s. So through those letters, we know even more about York. But there's a lot that we don't know about because there's a lot of space within his lifespan that is just unknown at this point.
So until the expedition force met up with Sacagawea, everyone was white except York.
Right. But you know, Bob, you can say this was one of the first cultural diverse groups to go through the Western territories at that particular given time. Sacagawea, her husband, Charbonneau, who was French, Canadian, I believe, and then York himself, and there were some other folks of different ethnic backgrounds. And as fate would have it, York was very adept at hunting, swimming, and doing all the things that all the men that were on the expedition could do.
Isn't there some notion that he might have been the first black west of the Mississippi?
Oh, yes, I think we can take that to the bank and say he probably was the first one to go through that region at that particular time. You know, they encountered over 40 to 50-some-odd Indian tribes going through those areas. And it's the Indians that really had more respect for York. The particular Indian group who was really intrigued by him was the Akira, who had never seen a black person before. And one of the chiefs actually spit on York, tried to rub the black off of him, and it wouldn't come off. And they thought he was a white man with coke on. And they thought, oh, my God, this man is Big Medicine.
Big Medicine.
So that's where he got his name, Big Medicine.
They had
to have some of that.
Which was useful, I suppose.
Oh, it was very useful. And Clark used him in certain ways that when they would approach certain Indian villages, they would say, we have this special person with us, and we want you to be able to see. And so sometimes that broke the ice because, you know, the Indians were very leery of the white man at that point.
Now, at one point, he actually got to vote.
He got to vote because they were trying to determine where they were going to stay over the winter, and everyone voted. So this was one of the first times a black man actually voted with a group.
However,
Clark
never let him believe he was anything but a slave.
You're right, and it was even more detrimental to their relationship once the expedition was over, because here was an African-American born a slave for a length of time while he was growing up, under servitude, went out west with his master, became a free man at that point, acculturizing, going through these areas and being a part of this group, and they had much respect for him at that point. Unfortunately, when they got back to St. Louis, all the dynamics changed, and so he fell right back into the bondage situation.
Members of the Corps got double pay, they got a lot of land.
Right.
York got squat.
York got nothing. And so here we are today paying homage to him. It's taken 200 years for him to get some recognition.
So now, a sculpture of York is going to be standing in Louisville overlooking the Ohio River.
Right on the Belvedere, down on the riverfront, and he's going to be looking toward the west from whence he came back from that expedition. It's a very heroic 8-foot figure that's mounted on a natural rock, and it's a wonderful combination of putting him in his own place and time, not just standing on a polished marble base that's more contemporary.
Now, what did you have to go on? Because there are no pictures of York, no photographs, of course.
I basically went with my own instincts. I read the main book that was written about York called In Search of York by Robert Betts that came out in 89. And so I devoured that book, and that gave me a lot of insight on who this man was. So I had to determine how did I want to portray this man, and knowing what he had gone through and how I know he earned his freedom by doing what he did for those 3 years. And so I just let my instincts go. I led with my heart and let my hands push the clay.
Sculptor Ed Hamilton's statue of York is dedicated today in Louisville as part of the bicentennial of the Lewis and Clark Expedition. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards.